Hello, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on March 24th, 2022. My name's Larry Jacobs. It's a pleasure to have you here today. Welcome to the show. I got an excellent show for you today. I truly do. We're going to have Omar Garriott here. Omar is the global head of education at Qualtrics, and that's Qualtrics. And they help institutions around the world in many different industries, but in K-12 and higher ed, revolutionize the academic experience and boost engagement with, they're going to talk about their products in particular and how they're applicable here, but it's with data. And we're going to focus on teacher burnout today and what, according to data, as measured by Qualtrics, is causing the particular challenges that we have in teacher retention these days and what institutions can do to combat this issue. It's very important stuff. I'm thrilled to have Omar here, and I'm going to bring him on in just a few minutes. We're going to archive this show at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That is our Equity and Access website. Over there is our magazine, our online journal, Equity and Access, which you can see the cover. Just click on it and enjoy the magazine. All right, all of our articles are over there. All of our podcasts are over there. There's a link to our professional learning site, which is called teacher-retention.com. All right, all about that, okay, which we see as a major challenge these days. And, of course, SELtoday.org is also linked to ACE-ED, and that's our SEL, Social Emotional Learning, website. So without further ado, you can find everything over at ACE-ED, or you can go to Qualtrics.com if this conversation with Omar interests you, and I think it might. Good morning, Omar. I'm Larry Jacobs. How you doing?
Hey, Larry. Great to meet you via via the show, and thanks for having me on. Really appreciate the work that you've been doing and for addressing this topic today.
It's a pleasure to have you here, my friend. And I know your company's in Utah. Where are you located?
I'm actually located in the Washington, D.C. area.
No, that looks a lot like Utah. I'm only kidding. It's a joke.
I actually got my education career started here in the D.C. area. I started my career as a third grade teacher in D.C. public schools a long, long time ago. And I was one of those victims of teacher burnout. I cannot imagine doing that job now. Right?
Me too. I could have taught you. Okay. It was a long time ago. All right. And by the way, I saw your picture. It couldn't have been that long ago when you were a third grade teacher. Okay. But you're still in education. I want to make that point. Now, though you work with Qualtrics, your global head of education, and you're still giving education and hence the kids and the teachers what they need. I want to make that point. That's for a lot of people out there. Okay. There's a lot of ways to work very, very well in education. I mean it indeed. All right. Tell me about Qualtrics. Yeah. And again, it's Qual, everybody. Qualtrics. Okay. What are you, your global head of education? That's very important. I imagine you sitting behind a high desk with black candles behind next to you. Okay. Burning and people coming in and bowing at your feet and asking what they can do. Am I correct? As a global head of education?
So you absolutely
wear robes.
That picture.
Yeah.
Robes. Yep. Bowing to the altar. No, not at
there
all.
There you go.
No,
there you go. That's what I'm picturing. Global head of education, everybody. Go ahead, Omar.
So I lead our education practice at Qualtrics, which actually has a really long history working with education institutions both across K-12 and higher ed. We are a public company now. We are the world's leading platform for academic research. So many leaders in K-12 know us because they've used us for their research as they got their doctorates in higher ed. But we have since become, we've sort of grown up over the two decades that we've been working with education institutions and become the experience management company, sort of defining that category for the world. And now what I'm trying to do and my team is bring this discipline of experience management, of tending to the experiences that people are having in the case of K-12 your various stakeholders across parents, your faculty and staff, and of course your students, and putting sort of rigor and programmatizing how you do that in such a way that you can really drive the outcomes you want. Teachers sticking around, right? Students ultimately successful.
That's what we want. Okay. Like, I just figured out that your product is XM for education for EDU, and I just realized that XM is experience management. Am I correct?
It is. Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly. That's sort of the category that Qualtrics created several years ago. It's actually our stock ticker, XM. And so what we're trying to do is take all these best practices that Qualtrics has learned in other sectors while maintaining our value. And we work with a lot of K-12 districts around research. They're doing their longitudinal stuff, their teacher effectiveness stuff, their research and evaluation departments use us as a research tool. But now we're also trying to say, well, hey, we've learned a lot in these other sectors. Let's bring that discipline of how to basically really care for, understand the experiences that your various constituents are having, and then be able to take actions on those so that, you can make sure teachers are still engaged and they don't attrit, which I know we're going to talk more about. So that's what Qualtrics is all about.
It's pretty cool. Was the company founded, by mathematicians? Because it's a data and analytics firm. That's what we're really talking about, which I think is wonderful. Yeah. Who founded
it? It's really a data-first approach. It's really as I said, we were built originally as a research platform for hardcore researchers. And it is...
But not just in education. Not just in education. It could be for any industry or just education.
Yeah, we started in education 2 decades ago and still our most avid users of... users of the platform are hardcore researchers, people who love data. They tend to be PhDs and that type, right? But what we've done with the kind of with the way the platform has grown has made this sort of data first approach more available to people who are in a variety of different roles. So whether you're a CHRO or you're running a student level, a school level program, after school program, right? There's principals. You can see. We make it really easy to visualize kind of what's happening in your school or your system, and then be able to understand what you can actually do about it. So it's been taken out of the rarefied air of hardcore researchers and really become more of a practical, useful tool.
Exactly the word I was just going to use. It's a practical use of just something that was developed for a different reason. I think it's wonderful. How do you do that? Do people take an aptitude test online or something, or do you have them fill in form? Just what does it actually look like? Okay, as you are measuring.
Yeah, it's a great question. So really what our slew of products, and I don't want to make this a big Qualtrics plug or anything, but the way
you
that
can.
We
– be my guest. Don't worry about that.
Well, the way that we approach working with schools and what kind of makes us different than all the other sort of technology that's out there is that is really in that secret sauce of what we've been talking about, which is experience management. And being able to tend to the experiences that all your key constituents are having, not just as one-offs, right? Schools, districts are really good at, maybe annual deep dive surveys on how did the, right, of teachers, for example, or parents, or pulsing these audiences when they really need something from them, right? Like as a parent of a fourth grader, my district tends to engage me when they need something from me, right? They ask me, well, do you need a laptop, right? Or do you intend to send your child back to school amidst the pandemic, right? And they want to transact. And what we're trying to say is rather than those one-offs that are either transactional or the longitudinal approach where they're basically reaching out to their constituents once a year in many cases, we want to say, no, you need to be more regularly pulsing the experiences that your constituents are having. So you actually know what's really going on in your schools and with your families and thus can address it, right? We worked with the chief accountability and equity officer at Charlotte Mecklenburg School, Dr. Frank Barnes.
Good district.
He said something that resonated. Yeah, they're doing great stuff. And he said something that resonated, which was, you know, districts are in the habit of going, you know, mile deep, inch wide. We do, we do our big teacher effectiveness analysis once a year, and we know how things are going once a year. But what we really need to get in the habit of, accelerated by the pandemic, is going more mile wide, inch deep, right?
That's
pulsing
right.
All
That's
of
right.
our constituents to really know what's happening at any moment
That's
in time.
That's a good
time.
Point.
And the reason this is so important, Larry, is because
wow, I like that.
If you think about this really matters if you think about the concept of sort of lagging versus leading indicators. So, you know, districts have their student information systems. They now, with virtual and hybrid learning, they have their learning management systems. These systems will tell you what has happened when it's already happened, right? They will alert you that that this student has missed 3 consecutive days of class, or that they're perhaps at risk of, you know, some bad outcome. But really, they're telling you what has happened after it's already happened. The reason experiences and really having an experience management platform, whether we're talking about students, families, or teachers, really matters is because it is a leading indicator that will tell you why these things are happening before mm-hmm. they even happen, so you can intervene, right? Before that mm-hmm. student drops out, before a teacher leaves the system, because the only way to know whether these problems are about to occur or if they're happening on a system-wide or school-wide level is to figure out why they're happening so you can get out in front of it. And that's why experience data is really important. It's a data set that schools and districts just aren't paying enough attention to. They started really getting serious about it during the pandemic, but you can't keep teachers, for example, in your system unless you know why they're leaving. Not just why they're leaving, but why they're disengaged, why they're not totally satisfied. What are the drivers of that? So you can then intervene, address it both individually at the teacher level and also across your system or your school where those problems are being shared and most acute. So it's the why versus what before that what is too late that schools don't have a good way of measuring and taking action against. That's what Qualtrics can do.
That is really fascinating as far as I'm concerned. And I was thinking, it's the same basic analogy. A snapshot works, but in reality, you need a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can't just take a shot at one point in time, all right? Because that's
exactly.
going to give you a mismeasure, all right? You need to develop, mm-hmm. if I may use the movie analogy, to develop that character and really see what's going on out there. So let me ask this so people understand this. How many districts, when we're getting into some information now, how many districts work with you guys, just offhand? And remember, this is radio,
oh,
so make up a number. Yeah, good. I'm only kidding. Yeah.
Well, we work with over half of the top 50 K-12 districts in the country. And
great.
And probably on the order of at least 1,000, I would say. And then we work with a bunch of individual schools, too. So we're pretty much everywhere and growing our presence for sure.
Cool. Okay. By the way, everybody, Omar does that. He's the global head of education for Qualtrics there. Okay, our guest today, Omar Garriott. All right, so what do we know right now? Just you will see a national trend somewhere, and I know teacher retention obviously is rough these days. Okay, teachers are feeling less engaged. Just talk about what you guys are finding across the board.
Yeah, so we did our own original research on this topic because we've been hearing it over and over from our customers, right? We know that teachers do what they do for the love of young people to shape the next generation. It's why both you and I got into the profession originally, right? But increasingly, we're hearing things like, wait, why am I pushing this hard? You know, I can be a free agent, I can tutor, I can piece these things together. We're hearing, you know, a teacher told me the other day, I never drink coffee in the mornings, and now I need a venti just to start my day, right? It's hard to get out of bed in the morning.
Wow.
I mean, it's become exhausting. Burnout is real. It's been real. Now it's even more real, right? And so we wanted to take a closer look at this. as you're right, it's gotten really, it's risen to crisis level,
yeah,
the national
crisis
really. And so in our conversations with districts, we've seen how over the last, few months really, as the pandemic continues and also in the wake of it, that this has become the most pressing acute issue that districts are facing. The schools we're working with are focused on it. So are the families they serve, right? Ask any parent about this issue of teacher burnout, teacher staffing.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many days my kid has had a less than qualified substitute teacher in, running the show. So we wanted, as the experience company, who has a whole set of solutions around employee experience and helping employers improve the engagement, the retention, and also understanding why people leave, elements of this, we wanted to take a closer look. So the first thing we did was a sort of a lit review to see, what's happening more generally speaking. And of course, the pandemic just exacerbated what was already, a national crisis. I'm sure you've talked about this and know about this, but this has been the teacher shortage has been a really big problem for many years. You have fewer people going into the profession, student numbers increasing. You have now this collision of the Great Recession, migration with the pandemic. You have low pay, bureaucracy, right? It's estimated now that less than 20% of teachers will stay long enough to earn full retirement benefits. So this lever
that
districts usually traditionally
that's funny you would mention that. I just did a podcast just before this one with a group I'm sure you're familiar with, AASPA, the School Personnel mm-hmm. Administrators. Okay, and they used the cliche, Kelly did, their executive director, she said, we're trying to hire to retire. Okay, and that's exactly, I like the two, it's a great cliche. And there you go, you just summed it up in a nutshell.
That is the right goal for that group to have, because it's on the decline, right? So less than a fifth of teachers will actually stay that long. So this is not a carrot that they can offer anymore in terms of, we know the pay is not what it should be in teaching, but if you can't offer a great retirement package, then you lose kind of all the compensation-related carrots that you used to have. And then, of course, you have the retirement of longtime master teachers, right, where we're sort of deep into that period of the baby boomers retiring and all of that, right? In California alone, there's been a 26% increase in the number of teachers who retired in the spring of 2020, at the onset of the pandemic compared to the previous spring. And, of course, teachers feel like they're being asked too much. And so we want to take a deeper look at this because we know we can help address it. Outside of the lit review. Yeah, so let me dig in a little bit to what we did and what we found. Is that okay, Larry?
Sure. Go for it.
Great. So we started with this lit review and then figured out that there are sort of nine key drivers that we wanted to focus in on. Part of that lit review included the University of Chicago's five essentials instrument that they use to gauge teacher satisfaction. But the nine drivers that we looked at of whether teachers are engaged really were across these nine dimensions. The first was authority and empowerment, so influence over work and classroom autonomy. Collaboration, do they feel supported by their peers? Family involvement, right, because teachers are more engaged when they feel like they can partner with families to promote mm-hmm. learning. Growth and development, number four, PD. Fifth, pay and benefits. Sixth, resources, do they feel like they have ample resources in their working environment? Seven, safety. Eight, strategic alignment. So are they aligned with their leaders, their school and district leaders, namely the school level? And then finally, work process. So do they feel like they can really deliver on quality of instruction and student achievement with the processes and structures in place in their school? And we found some really interesting things, including basically across three big categories. The first was around engagement. Do teachers feel engaged? And most of the when we surveyed, we got 1,000 responses, mostly from K-12 teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And we catered these questions to those who are teaching in the classroom and really wanted to unpack what's happening in the culture of their schools and work environments. So this is really focused on a culture that either does or doesn't engage them in the classroom. And they agreed on, in general, these 1,000 respondents agreed most with the question we asked around, my work gives me a feeling of personal accomplishment. So, you know, they're still mission connected. They're doing this work for the reasons we got into it originally, right, Larry? They agreed least, however, with, this school motivates me to contribute more than is normally required to complete my work. So they're not as willing as they might have been in the past to go above and beyond because they don't feel adequately supported by their school.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we found that the vast majority of respondents, 83%, said their work gives them a feeling of personal accomplishment, right? But only 65%, less than two-thirds, agreed that the school motivated them to go above and beyond. So, again, we sort of see this personal motivation. They still want to do it for the kids, but they feel increasingly like their school isn't necessarily providing them with the structure, the motivation to do more than as is required. And as we all know, teaching is a relentless job that does require you to go above and beyond if you're really going to meet students' needs, especially right now. When so many of our students are so far behind, right? They're catching up given the learning loss that's occurred over the last couple of years, right? Reading levels in early elementary are at 20-year lows. We've had hundreds of thousands of dropouts at the high school level incrementally. College enrollment is down a million students, right? So that's what we found on the engagement sort of bucket. Then we also looked at inclusion. Do you feel included in, which is a key driver of, you know, teacher satisfaction and whether teachers are ultimately going to stay in the system. And the most interesting finding there was the question we asked around, do you feel like you can succeed to your full potential? The specific question was, at this school, everyone can succeed to their full potential. And it had the lowest level of any question we asked of agreement, and the highest level of disagreement. So
this was
among very
teachers,
contentious.
Not just not kids.
Among teachers.
No.
We went out to 1,000 teachers and asked these questions.
Yeah.
And so this was a very divisive question, right? Generally, teachers feel they felt included. They didn't point to a whole lot of issues around inclusion except for this one measure, which is people don't necessarily all feel like they can succeed to their full potential. So again, pointing to things that their schools and districts need to do to engage them and bring them in. And then the last bucket that we looked at, Larry, was well-being, right? Which is probably the most pronounced issue in the wake of the pandemic, right? When we talk about burnout, and it's the thing that we feel schools need to really be tending to in much more systematic, programmatic, aggressive ways. And here we found that teachers say they love their peers. They say they have trusting relationships at work. That was the highest highest number of teachers agreed with the statement, I have trusting relationships at work. Yep. So that still is sustaining them, but they agreed least, the lowest measure here, with the statement, I feel energized at work, right? So there's something about the social peer relationships that is sustaining them, but again, they're missing that piece of feeling truly energized at work. And, you know, it goes back to that sentiment I talked about of, you know, I never needed coffee in the morning, but now I need a venti just to start my day. So only two-thirds of teachers said they agreed with the statement of feeling energized at work. And all the other well-being-related questions we asked, over 80% agreed with those. So this was clearly sort of this idea of not feeling energized was clearly the biggest subcomponent of our well-being finding. And then
I'll tell you, Omar, it's so interesting to me because one of the reasons why I left teaching, okay, this is just personal, was because I felt, this is interesting the way this came out. I felt like I was a cog in a very large wheel of bureaucracy. Okay, mm-hmm. And it's interesting. Teachers are professionals. They are college trained, sometimes extremely highly mm-hmm. trained professionals. Yet they are in a bureaucracy. Okay, they are stuck, if I may. I don't like bureaucracies. In a bureaucracy. Okay, and to me, these findings, you know, show that is a challenge. That affects the way people's social emotional attitudes are. Okay,
totally.
When you feel like, totally. You know, this is extremely interesting to me. They just don't feel as energized. Okay.
Yeah.
If you work in the Russian government, you're not as energized as Vladimir Putin is. Okay, who's at the head of the thing? Okay. You know, just.
Right, right. Well,
fascinating
well, this
stuff.
Is to your point.
Fascinating.
To your point, this is where schools and districts can and need to do more to engage these teachers who are feeling burnt out, who are feeling low energy.
Exactly.
And create more incentives, create more engagement strategies that are more regular, as we were talking about, not infrequent, not once a year, but really get into the habit of more regular checkpoints and then showing
exactly.
that you value
exactly.
that kind of feedback and actually doing something about it, right?
Something about
there,
it, yep.
Right,
yep.
A lot of sometimes schools think of us as a survey tool, right? And at the, you know, there's people will complain sometimes about, oh, survey fatigue. I don't want to have another, I don't want to have to tell my school again, you know, fill out yet another survey about what's going on in my classroom or whatever. We don't actually find survey fatigue. It's not that teachers don't want to express their opinions about what's happening, right? They are a very vocal crowd. They want to express
yeah.
it. Where survey
You're
fatigue,
right. You're right.
Where the fatigue sets in is because they don't think their school or district, they don't see the action. They don't think they're listening to the feedback. They're not actually doing anything about it. So our recommendation to schools and districts is pulse, you know, at a cadence where you can actually put in meaningful measures to change some of the issues that are being raised, right? Every 6 months instead of every year, for example.
That's right.
And then you're actually measuring how, if the measures you put in place have changed the situation on the ground, if the sentiment has changed over time. It's not just about teachers being retained. It's also about, you know, are you improving the workplace culture and environment? So it's really important that schools start to get it more in the habit of doing what Dr. Barnes at Charlotte Mech said.
Exactly.
You know, inch deep, mile wide, and doing these things more regularly. At a really high level, Larry, we found that teachers intend to stay in the job at their current school for an average of 4.1 years, right? So the first question that we asked was about your intent to stay, 4.1 years. And, you know, and the NEA says that the average teacher tenure is 14 years. So that's a big gap right now.
It sure as hell
and
is.
And 10% of teachers said they're going to leave in the next 6 months. So, you know, that is the need is well documented. Every single district is wrestling with this, but we got to get serious about it, or what has become sort of a pandemic-driven crisis may be here to stay.
Well, it's brutal out there. We have our teacher-retention.com. I'm going to do a plug for that for people to go over and check that out, because we are very, very – I'm going to go ahead and talk to you about that, but not here. We are very, very, very concerned about this challenge, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's just absolutely unbelievable, especially when the cohorts in education schools are dropping. Okay, who's going to teach the kids?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
You mentioned your fourth grader, and they're dealing with substitutes. I don't know what district, but they're dealing with substitutes who are going in there, but they're not trained. Okay,
yeah.
Every school district
yeah, and
is struggling here. It's. I have to ask you something, though, before we go on. We'll use Charlotte Mecklenburg as an example, okay? We're not picking on them. We are using them as a good example because they are a good school district, okay? When they get this data, and I know what he said, and I agree with him wholeheartedly, are they measuring now? You work with them, obviously. Are they measuring now once a month And when they get the measurement, when they get the data, which is so key, okay, as opposed to anecdotal thought, what are they doing about it? How's it all? Have you had that follow-up conversation? I'm sure you have.
We have, and we're working with a number of other districts who are really embracing this sort of teacher engagement with
yep.
regularity as well. Another district just down the road from them is Wake County Public Schools in North Carolina,
sure.
where
yeah.
we're helping them really regularly evaluate the working conditions. So you know, like many districts, they've had a history in Wake County of being unable to understand and improve the experience teachers are having, especially non-certified
yeah.
teachers.
Wow.
And then what happened there was there was a large enough group, like a critical mass of dissatisfied employees. You know, they would rise up and gain an audience with the district administrator, and the district leadership wanted to get out in front of that, right? Like I was saying earlier, the leading indicator, as opposed to waiting until teachers rise up or they leave en masse, they wanted to get out in front of this and understand what is driving the sentiment. So what's happening in Wake is
wow.
to understand the needs of all their employees. They've been using Qualtrics for the last couple of years to really listen to teachers during the onboarding and exit interview sort of steps, right? So the bookends, if you will, of when teachers come into and then leave the system. But then they realize coming out of the pandemic that the impact of burnout is actually really going unaddressed. And so they've recently piloted a pulse survey, like we're talking about, twice a year, where they can use our tools and our methodology to pulse twice a year, as opposed to just at those bookends of when a teacher comes into or leaves the system, to really understand
yep, yep,
how their employees
yep.
are doing more regularly, why they're staying, right? Not just why they're leaving, when they leave, but why. And then really importantly, what the district can do to help them stay. So really it's about understanding the why, not just the what. That's the key element here when you're dealing with a crisis that, you know, is sort of spiraling out of control. So the recommendation is to do these kinds of pulse checks and then build in actions early in the year, you know, first month or two of school, and then do it again 6 months later before the school year's out, so you can see if some of the measures you put in place in between are working.
Exactly.
And then be able to continue to address them perhaps in new ways before the school year's out and before teachers are making those decisions before the next school year about whether they're going to come back, right? So that's the way we see these kinds of programs being implemented in practice and what we would advise for other districts.
You know, it's actually interesting. I'll use another analogy. My voice just cracked. Analogy, if I may, and that's you should really get a checkup from your doctor once every 6 months, every year, especially as you age, okay? And if you wait, you know, the results, and it's the same thing with this. We have to take the pulse of our employees, and that's a word, Omar, I just want to talk about for a second, okay, is employees, because while we worry about teacher retention, and while we worry about teacher burnout, we also are having trouble within our 12,000 public school districts of hiring everybody, okay? School bus drivers, lunch people, cafeteria workers, custodians, all right? And, you know, it's the old line, it takes a village to build to raise a child. You know, the school bus drivers are incredibly important. They set the attitude for the day. All right, and we're having trouble replacing them and the lunch people, if I may, et cetera, who didn't perform, who made food for everybody during the pandemic, if God forbid people needed it, and they did. Okay, when you go in with Qualtrics, are you measuring? We labeled this as teacher retention, but in reality, are they measuring? Do you find the school districts are measuring everybody, all the employees? It's key.
Yeah, it's such a great point, Larry. And yes, they are. And what's great about our tool when you get into these engagement measures is you know, I think schools do overly focus on teachers with respect to what we're talking about right now, right? Because they're frontline
yeah.
with the students. It's the most obvious place to start, where the problem is probably the most acutely felt. But what our tool allows you to do is to pulse everyone and then filter that by subgroup, so you're not just sort of lumping everyone together, but actually really able to quickly see how are bus drivers feeling and doing? How are the cafeteria staff, and what can we do about it? And I think for many of these employees, no matter who you're talking about, really, a large part of this is just about their voice. They want to have voice. They want to feel like they have some agency in the job that they have. Yeah, and it's while we like to think of ourselves as a system of action so you can actually improve these measures, I think there is so much value in just and merely asking the question and doing it regularly enough to show you care, right, rather than sort of being in this crisis mode all the time, being proactive about asking bus drivers how they're doing and feeling, right, because that is also a national crisis, right? My kids
sure as hell is.
My kid's bus comes somewhere between 15 and 40 minutes late every day, right? And it's because they've cycled through new drivers every few weeks, and it's really difficult.
And they're condensing routes because they can't find enough drivers, so route one and route two becomes one route, okay?
All kinds of crazy stuff. But
that makes a difference,
too.
That makes a difference to your kid.
Exactly. Oh, it makes
exhausting. That's exhausting.
It makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference, you know? It really is, but your point is well taken, that these are really critical parts of the educational experience, and they are valued employees that need to be engaged and asked in the first place, and then, you know, again, measures to be taken on the back end so they feel like their voice is being heard. But there's a lot of value in just asking, and not just asking when there's a crisis, right? Not just asking when they leave the system.
Averting the crisis to begin with. Averting
it.
So let me ask you one last question because we're running out of time. So you got 2 minutes for this one. This is great stuff. Qualtrics.com. When you go into a school district and talk to them, are there any school districts who actually look at you and say, "Nah, we don't need this"?
Oh, absolutely not.
Why do they? Why
do
they do that? Don't they see they do need this? What the hell are they waiting for?
Well, Larry, can we get you on some calls with our districts? Help remind
them.
I think it's a matter of, you know, don't know where to start, right?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I've now had a 20-year career in ed tech, and I think a lot of what I've seen over the years is, you know, sort of this mentality that maybe tech can be a panacea, right? It's not a panacea. It's not going to solve every problem. It's just a tool. The relationships, especially in K-12, are really the currency. It really is what matters most. And to look to tech as an enabler of scale, not of necessarily problem solving, but, for example, in the context we're talking about, a quick pulse that gauges regularly if teachers are being engaged on these key measures that we looked at, right? And then being able to do something about that, I think it's just a muscle that they need to build. I think they're not all quite there. They don't understand how this can fit into their current tech stack and also the way that they do things, right? They have their ways of going a mile wide, inch deep. And so it's just sort of a new muscle. But the good news is I think the silver lining of the pandemic is that it has really highlighted some of these challenges, the teacher burnout issues, and led districts to say, no, we actually need to really prioritize this in new ways.
Yeah.
So I think they're all embracing this. It's just a matter of sort of building some new muscles. That's all.
Yeah, we'll help you get them. I love this stuff. This is great. Okay. I mean, they
Thanks,
really got
Larry.
It all. This is we're in an emergency situation, and The knowing the data, knowing the situation, you can't put your head in the sand. We're not ostriches, okay? That doesn't protect you. It's just you don't see the enemy. That's all that's happening, okay?
Right.
You can't be blind to it.
Larry, just,
we need the data.
And one last quick thing I just want to say about the data and about not burying our head in the sand when we know the data is – I know you focus a lot on equity. The stuff that we're talking about today, the teacher burnout issues, the staffing issues, the teacher-to-student ratios, you know, teachers leaving the classroom and even getting there in the first place, these issues are all much more pronounced, of course, in low-income communities and low-income schools.
Sure.
So, you know, when we talk about the crisis, we can't forget that. It is it is the most urgent crisis in those types of schools where they're actually needed the most, where continuity of teachers, engaged teachers who can drive student outcomes, who can engage parents, are most needed. That's where the problem is the most acute.
Omar, I'm going to talk to you some more, okay? Answer the phone while I call. Promise?
Will do. Will do, good, I promise, man. Yes. Really enjoy it, Larry.
This is great. Thank you, Omar. This is terrific. So we got to leave now, but we'll do more, okay? I'll be in touch. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, everybody, that is Omar Garriott. Omar is the Global Head of Education, great title, okay, at Qualtrics.com, Qualtrics, Qualtrics.com. And I think you can probably figure out why we need this. Okay, got to look at it carefully, all right? We are in an emergency situation. Hey, we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org, and we'll do more, all right? Thanks for listening. My name's Larry Jacobs. Have a good day.